the brazen lever. Exodus chapter 38 and verse 8. The other item in the courtyard, if you look at your picture, is the unique vessel called the lever. The lever stood between the brazen altar and the tent. If you look at the picture, you would see the tent, right, the rectangular enclosure inside, and in between you see the lever sandwich from the tent on the top and the altar of burnt offering at the bottom. Paul F. King, he made a very good observation. He says, its very position is of significant and fundamental importance. Why did the Lord place the lever not in front of the altar of burnt offering, right, but before that? Probably men would have assigned it another place, but the mouth of God ordained the location. Thus, according to the opinion of men, a wash basin should stand up in front of the entrance even before entering the gate. If you think of it by our own terms, we said, yeah, very dusty. Before you get in, let's wash first. That's a proper thing to do. This view rests on the assumption that the sinner had every reason to cleanse himself before entering the courtyard. Only when he's clean and washed, then he can enter into the presence of God. But he says, these people do not reflect, however, that the lost person cannot approach God through personal effort, but he can do so only by means of an offering, which becomes a substitute, his substitute, and atones for him and his guilt. Only with such an offering can he stand before a holy and just God. Once he made this blood offering, he is fully justified. So as we think about it carefully, right, you realize that before we can approach God, right, the way by which we can approach God is through his Son Jesus Christ, through the offering of his Son upon the cross. And only when we come to God through the offering of the Son, through the blood sacrifice, then we can be justified before God. So as you think of it logically, it is true. Hebrews 10 verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And 10 verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And 13 verse 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. And Romans 3, 23 to 26, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him who believeth in Jesus. And so the altar of burnt offering, which we saw last week, is the place where the sinner comes into a new relationship with God and is placed in the new position of blessing before him. And this position cannot be lost. We must come to God through Christ. We must never forget that it is through Christ and through his blood only. We are living in a world where the truth is more and more become hazy, even in the Christian church. So the people of God who have been reading and studying their Bible must realize that, you know, the only way to God is through Christ, and God only offers this way. And let us go back to the fundamental, go back to His Word, right? Because the power is in the blood, in the shed blood of Christ. And this animal sacrifices that the priest and the people bring with them is a picture of the offering of Christ that was made upon the cross many years later, when Israel has established themselves in the promised land, and in the fullness of time the Son of God would come. And this is God's plan of redemption. Moreover, Romans 5 verse 20 says, "The law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." God provided a way out for us through the blood sacrifice. And the one who is justified and sanctified is made worthy and is called to this conscious fellowship with the living God. Right? Cain said very well. But this fellowship requires a sanctification lived out in practice. So he says that, yes, we need to come to Christ in order to approach God. But after you have come to Christ and He has washed you from all your sins, right, positionally in the sight of God, you are justified, you can approach God. But then, as you look at the picture of the tabernacle, you see the lever coming in the way. And what is in the lever? Well, the lever is just water. It's just a basin filled with water that the priest is to go to wash themselves before they can enter the tabernacle. Why so? Well, the washing of the water by the Word. Paul says in Ephesians 5:26, if you want to approach God, yes, you go through Christ. Right? Only through the blood of Christ can you be justified. But in order to come to God in worship on a daily basis, the priest must be sanctified through the washing. So he has to clean his body in the sense that he has to wash his hands. So you see the picture behind, you see the basin and the priest washing his hand, washing himself before he is able to go into the holy place. Now it's a picture, right, of us in our spiritual life having to check ourselves, go to His Word, to let His Word sanctify us, let His Word speak to us. So do you, this morning before you come for Bible study, do you have your quiet time? Have you spent time quiet with God? Before you come to God in worship, do you prepare your heart? Do you clean yourself? And then at the same time you prepare your heart, ask God for forgiveness, and ask God to check our hearts before we come before Him in holy worship. Well, that's the daily life of the priest. They are to make sure that before they approach God, they would clean themselves, take the dust off their feet. Then at the same time, what else do they do? Well, they are to it is a process, right, of what we said, purification. The priests are to stop to wash their hands and their feet, his hands spat with blood, and his feet soiled with the dust of the tabernacle court. So the priest moved quickly but reverently to the brazen laver for cleansing. We notice that it is not used for the congregation, but is provided solely for the priest's purification. And who are we? Right? All of us are considered priests before God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? We all have the privilege of approaching God, right, through Christ in prayer. So we have a special position before God. And each one of us, to approach God, well, we need to prepare ourselves. Exodus 29 verse 4 says, "And Aaron and his sons, thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and wash them with water. If they enter the tent or serve at the brazen water altar without washing, they are in danger of death." Exodus 40 verse 30 to 32 tells us, "And he set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and put water there to wash with them. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed his hands and their feet thereat. And when they went into the tent of the congregation, and when they came near unto the altar, they washed, as the Lord commanded Moses." Each year, the high priest would wash on the Day of Atonement and put on the holy linen garments and make an atonement for himself and for the children of Israel. Leviticus 16 verse 24 says, "And he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place, and put his garments, and come forth and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people, and make an atonement for himself and for the people." So on every day of the year, the priest had only to wash the defilement from their hands and their feet before entering the tabernacle to serve. And the priest understood well the meaning behind, right, the placement of the laver. Their sins being atoned at the brazen altar made it possible for them to approach the tabernacle in worship. But before they stopped at the they stopped at the brazen laver to wash the defilement of the dusty tabernacle court from their bodies. They had to be both spiritually, physically clean before they could enter into the presence of a holy God in communion and fellowship. So our text tells us in Exodus 38 verse 8, "And he made the laver of brass, and of the foot of it of brass, and of looking glasses of the women assembling, which were assembled at the door of the tabernacle." And so this woman, how is it made? It is made from the brass glasses that the woman took out of Egypt. Okay, so it is quite, it's like a mirror. It's quite reflexive. Alright, okay. And if you look at the picture there, you would be able to see, right, the picture at the back, the number 10 picture, number 10, you would be able to see there is a basin, then there is also a stand below. Okay, you can't, the stand is the support for the basin. Okay, then you see the man there carrying the water. So there is a group of people that would carry the water to and fro. Is their job important or not? Very important, right? If no one were to carry the water, then, you know, the whole process would break down already. So you see that the whole process, there is a duty that God assigns to his people. And also the size of the laver was not given. If you would search throughout the text, the size, how big it is not given. If you look at all the other items that we have studied, right? The brazen altar, the altar of incense, right? The showbread, table of showbread, the candlestick, all of it with dimensions all given. But for the level, nothing is said. Okay, nothing is said. So it should be big enough to hold a large amount of water used exclusively by the priest for purification. And this water is to be poured continually. So what happened is that I think, they would pour it, the clean water, so they would take out the clean water to wash themselves. Right? So you need to constantly replenish the water. Right. And so it is in our spiritual life. Right? We are cleansed by the water of the Word. Right? Cleansed by the water and the Word. Right? You need to, that there is that supply there, right? That allows you, right, to be searched in your heart. So we have started the read the Bible in 1 year. Again, we are beginning, and every day you have your Old Testament text to read, then you have the New Testament text to read, then you have the Psalm, then you have the Proverbs, right? And every day there will be one section that we will go through and read. Right. And if you were to faithfully follow and read, by the end of the year, you have completed reading the whole Bible. This is the sanctification process that God wants us to go. Sanctification through thy word. Right? Thy word is truth. Sanctify yourself through the word. Right? You are made holy through the reading of the word. Just like, you know, your body is made strong, right, by your eating, right? Eating, how many meals do we eat? Right? We said, right, you eat breakfast, you eat your tea break, then you eat your lunch, then you take your afternoon tea, then you take your dinner, then you take your night snack. Wow, how many? A lot, right? A lot. We eat a lot. 7 meals, huh? Complete 7 meals, huh? So, what about your spiritual life? Right. Do you take the complete 7 meals like you take for your physical body? And I think that we need to really take time to be reading the Word of God. Right. Someone asked, do I need commentary? Why is it there's no commentary that goes together with the reading? Well, if you were to take time to read the Word of God, I think that is a good start already. Because you need to... The text, the Bible itself, is the source of life, you see. The seed of life is the Word. So unless you go to the Word, you know, and you pray before you look at it, then the Word can speak to you, you know. God can speak to you through His Word. See, and then there's that cleansing, you know, in your heart, in your life. You know that, I've done wrong. This done wrong, that done wrong. That's not good for me. Right? Then we start to come to God and seek His forgiveness for our sins. And that's how we are sanctified daily, because we know that, you know, in this flesh we are very, very weak. We are very, very weak. And so God set this process in the tabernacle in order for us to see how we can approach God. Because by the time you enter into the holy place, you get closer to, you know, that's where you receive blessings and God's guidance and all these things, right? So there is that preparation process as you approach God. Just like when we come for Sunday worship, right? We take time to prepare our hearts, to come for Sunday worship. We don't just come haphazardly. We make sure that, you know, our Saturday is not so hyped up with activities, so that, you know, by the time Sunday comes, you're so tired. By the time you come into God's house, you can hardly open your eyes, you know, or you're so tired that, you know, you have no energy at all. That is not your priority in your spiritual life. But for the people of God, this should be our priority, you see. That's where we, you know, get our spiritual nourishment. That's where we get our spiritual strength from. You come and you are early, then you can quietly, you know, pray, seek God, quietly meditate upon the Word of God, spend time alone, quiet before God. We need to cultivate that kind of spiritual posture in life, you see, so that we are not encumbered, you know, by many cares, encumbered by many things, such that your mind is so crowded. By the time you come, you find yourself no energy for worship, no energy to focus. So we said, no, we cannot. So as far as possible, we try to ensure that, you know, there is not too much duty to do, so much so that we end up so tired, so encumbered, that we could not approach God in worship. So there are steps by which we approach God. And as you study the tabernacle, you would be able to see that step by step movement. There is one other pastor, Carter. He wrote, he made an interesting observation. He says, worship involves coming away from the world. The purpose of the courtyard was to make a kind of a burial, a kind of separation from the place of worship and the rest of the world. Come to think of it, those who on the outside do not see and understand what goes on in the inside, those on the inside have a barrier that keeps them from seeing the world outside. It's like when we come to church and take a step away from the world, a step toward the Lord. It says, I think we need to make a mental effort sometimes to put away the thoughts, images, cares and concerns of the world as we come to worship the Lord. Well, I would say that it's true that we come to worship God. Right? Oftentimes we have our cares before us. Oftentimes we have our worries, right? That you know, that is holding us. But the Lord tells us that as we approach God, you know, it should be very light-hearted. The psalmist in Psalm 121 is a song of degrees. It describes the people approaching Jerusalem for worship. Right? He says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer your foot to be moved, thy foot to be moved, and he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, he shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore. You see that as you approach God, yes, we do have our many cares, right? But we ought to just cast them to the Lord. Right? Pray and, Lord, I have this, please undertake and help. this, please undertake and help. Right? God will be there, right? And he will not be sleepy, you know. Sometimes we all don't know how to care anymore for the people we are concerned about, right? How do you care? Sometimes you are so far away from them, and sometimes you are just not able to handle, you know, all the concerns that is before you. So the best way, the way that God has appointed for us, is that we will take time to pray, take time to come before Him. And so the approaching of God is the sense, is the emphasis here as we look at the level. That is how we can approach God. And the Lord wants us to see, understand, know. The psalmist says in Psalm 24, "Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He hath received a blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation." So it is by the washing of water, by the word of God, that we are cleansed. We acknowledge and confess our sins before Him to seek cleansing and forgiveness. The psalmist says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." So it is in holiness that we approach God. So in this way, right, our prayers will be heard. Right? God will hear our prayers. And the Lord wants us to approach Him rightly. Paul Keen, he says, "Can we forget the Lord washed the feet of His disciples before He went to Gethsemane? As Peter learned at that time, so we learn what the washing of the feet implies, namely, that we have a part with Jesus, true fellowship with Him. That fellowship is what His loving heart yearns." Like Peter said to Him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." And so how is that washing done? Well, when we come to Him to study His word, let His word cleanse us, sanctify our hearts. Right? And we all need that sanctification. We all need that sanctifying in our lives, right? Because we know that, right, on our own, by our own thoughts, oftentimes our thoughts are fallen. Our thoughts are no good. Right? So how can we have good thoughts? It is only when we come to God and be fulfilled with His word. That's why now, you know, it seems even more urgent, right, that the people of God would spend time reading the word of God. Reading the word of God and make it a habit. See, the reason why there is no progress, right, in our spiritual life is because we don't take time to let the word of God, right, sanctify us, work in our hearts, right, to cleanse us and to cause us to be made a better person for the Lord, right? Put on Christ, right? And the word is it that enables us, right, to draw nigh to God. And so this spiritual habit, right, need to be cultivated, right? And so if you look at the tabernacle, every day the priest has to get into the holy place, right? Every day he has to go and make sure that the oil inside the the lamp is full. No, every week he has to change the showbread, and every day he has to make sure twice a day the incense on the altar continues to burn. These are the prayers. We are signifying the prayers that goes up to God. So without that cleansing through the word, there's no fellowship and communion, you know. So we live our life, it's as if, you know, we are living our own life, choosing to walk our own way. That's not how it should be, right, for the people of God. We are studying the book of Peter. Right, we are reaching the end of chapter 1. And we said, you know, that first, right, God chose us from the foundation of the world and washed us, and then by His blood, and caused us to know that we have a inheritance that is coming, that God would give to us the inheritance of a glorified body, the inheritance of a home in heaven, the inheritance of a pure, beautiful environment, undefiled, evergreen, ever beautiful, that God is preparing for us. Then Peter tells us that you'll be going through trials and temptations, and he tells us that all this is to make you more and more like the Lord, make you more and more sanctified, make you more and more holy. So he tells you that this is how God is doing, allow you to go through trials, temptations, right, so as to test you, to make you more like Him. And then this Sunday we're going to talk about the Word of God, how the Word of God is that life that sustains your you spiritually, right? That water, the washing of the water of the Word. So here the Lord Peter tells us, be holy for I am holy. But how can we be holy? You need to come, right, for that washing, for that cleansing, as represented by the level. Jesus said, sanctify them. He prayed to the Father. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. How we need to be sanctified by the truth. And then what happened? Well, then when we have the word in us, then we would be doers of the word. We will not be hearers only, deceiving our own selves, right? James wrote, he says, if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man holding his natural face in a glass. He beholdeth himself and goes his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So, you know, in the basin, it's very reflective, you know, right? It's made like glass. It's a brazen mirror like that, you know. Right? The washing for us to see and look at ourselves, if truly, you know, we are becoming more and more like Christ. Right? And we all know that, you know, we are very, very far away. Right? We need help. And God's word tells us that it is through the word that we can. And so we need to keep persevering to study His word, keep persevering to do our quiet time, keep persevering to examine ourselves, examine our hearts, so that we may be truly sanctified and prepared for heaven. Right? One day when the Lord, we don't know which day, will call us, we are ready. No? We are ready. It can be any time, any circumstances, right? You can be ready to say, Lord, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to be with you. May we be prepared May we be a prepared people, right? Because God has promised us the inheritance already, right? And we are going to make sure that, you know, we are going to arrive there safely. And the way to do it is that we would rely upon His Word through prayer, through His Spirit to help us. May the Lord be merciful to help us.